The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
One of the fundamental laws of nature is that we reap what we sow. And that is so true. If you'll go with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, you can put a marker there. We'll go back and forth to that two or three times during the sermon today. Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And this law of nature also teaches us that we reap the same in kind as we have sown. Now, what I mean by that is, for example, if a farmer sows or plants wheat, he's going to reap wheat. He's not going to reap oats or barley or corn or anything else. He's going to reap wheat. That is, assuming that the crop grows, and taking all of those things out of there. Of course, that's what we're assuming. The person who plants an orange grove will not reap apples, pears, cherries, or any other kind of fruit. He's going to reap oranges. Because this principle is, whatever is reaped or harvested will be like that which was planted. And that's a principle. That's a principle that we need to understand. And that's what we're going to deal with here today. But yet, at the same time, brethren, do we realize this is also true in the area of human and spiritual relationships. It's not just about wheat and oranges. It's not about crops. It's not only limited to that, but it is also about relationships. And I want us to take a look at an example. David, King David, I think, is a powerful example for us to see this. Because you see, David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, and we understand and we look for David's life with some incredible examples, positive examples, but we also see that he had sown sexual lust and murder. And as a result of this sowing, he was going to reap the same in the lives of his children for many generations to come. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9. "Wherefore have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." In verse 10, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." This word in this context, and pretty much in all contexts in Scripture, this word sword is symbolic of violence. You could describe it in a lot of ways, but I'm simply summarizing it in that way. It is showing the symbolism of violence would never cease to be associated with David's house. That's what the verse just said. He was going to reap what he had sown throughout the generations of his children and grandchildren. Without even going to all of the examples, we certainly know it's there. And if you're not aware that it is there, do a study through 2 Samuel and on through, and you will see example after example after example of this spiritual principle being carried out because of a physical act on the part of David. Even though David was forgiven, his sins were going to continue to produce the fruit in the lives of many people for many generations to come. Now, having shown this real simple illustration, profound illustration of example of reaping what we sow, I have a couple of questions at this point. And those two questions are, What are we sowing in the lives of our children and grandchildren? And the second question is, what do we want them to reap? Now, I think if you just think about these two questions and just looking at the life of David, of what happened, I think we need to step back and take a look and analyze our own lives. What do I want my children and grandchildren to reap? Well, what am I sowing that as a result of what I'm sowing, what is it are they going to reap? And so I think these are powerful questions for us to consider and for us to think about. We need to realize that this law of nature or this principle of God is also not all negative. There are also some positive sides to this particular principle. So I want you to imagine with me for a moment, what do you think the life of a farmer, I'm using a farmer because a farmer is the one who plants and they reap, hopefully they reap. But imagine with me the life of a farmer, what would his life be like if he planted wheat, but it produced Dallas grass or crab grass or anything else other than wheat in its place? What do you think his life would be like? Because he couldn't ever know. But here's the thing. We know this will never happen because God said so. And that's a principle in life. Just you take seed. I'm not talking about if somebody says, this is wheat, and you plant it and it comes up something else and you realize you were given the wrong thing. I'm not dealing with any of that. I'm talking about that you know what it is and you plant it, yet something else comes up. We know that's not going to happen because God has already said so. Well, brethren, in the same way, we can also be sure that when we sow good seed, we will reap a good harvest in the lives and in the lives of others because God said so. Galatians 6, verse 7. Told you to put a marker there. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap sometimes. That's not what it says. God speaks it as a positive thing that you can count on it. What we need to ask is, where's the foundation, or what is the foundation for this law of reaping and sowing? I mean, other than God saying so. Well, the first thing that we need to take a look at, we're going to see two major principles. The first one is physical reproduction. To see what I'm talking about here, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1, all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 11. Genesis 1 and verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. In other words, it's going to continue to produce what it is because it has the seed to do so. Now, that's a lot of words, but it says right here, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. God spoke it, and it came to be, because God said so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, drop down to verse 21, God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after his kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the air. and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Because you see, at creation, God ordained it. God ordered it. He set it in motion. That's from those phrases that we're looking at, after its kind. That's exactly what he's talking about. And so this is the first principle that we see. In other words, here's the point. Fish will not become reptiles. And monkeys will not become humans. I personally do not care what evolutionists say or what they teach. I do not care. It is not true. God said what is true. And this isn't going to happen. And it's not going to happen in life, and it's not going to happen in test tubes. And it never will. And if they come out and say, we did this. No, they didn't. Something else has happened. Because that's what God declared. The second principle that we need to take a look at, and yes, we could look at a lot more about in the physical realm of reproduction and all of that, but and we see the same thing in humans, just not going that part. But the principle is of spiritual reproduction. Now, with this in mind, let's go with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his master's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now that's a whole other subject that I'm not really going into as part of this particular teaching. But he goes on and says, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh can never reproduce spiritual life any more than a plant can evolve into some type of animal life. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Now, when Adam disobeyed God and sinned while he was there in the garden, he reaped the consequences of his actions. And I'm going to state it real simply, three things. We could bring it out in a whole lot of different ways, but I'm going to narrow it down to three separate things that he reaped when he sinned. One, and I'm not saying this is in the right order or in any particular order, I'm just saying these are things that he reaped. Number one, he reaped the loss of fellowship with God. Number two, he lost and reaped a relationship with God. And those are two separate things. And the third one, he reaped spiritual death. Now that might need to be explained, but I'll simply state it. Unrepented sin will end in spiritual death. That's a simple explanation of it. Adam, now a sinner, could only produce children who would likewise be sinners. We reap what we sow, and kind after kind. Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of this one man, Adam. He sinned, and now a sinner can only bring forth sinners. Now if you would go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and we know this was David's psalm of repentance. But Psalm 51 in verse 5, only verse we're going to read. Psalm 51 in verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, when David stated that he was conceived in sin, he was acknowledging something. He was acknowledging that he was born with a predisposition towards sin because of Adam. He isn't saying that the act of his mom and dad bringing him into the earth was sin. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I have this, because of my birth, I now have this predisposition towards sin because of my, shall we say, my forefather Adam, which is exactly what we're talking about. And this is exactly what he is saying. I mean, after all, David was a child of Adam, as all of us are also. And all humans are born this way because we're all of Adam. Go with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 15. Job 15, we'll begin in verse 14. We're going to read Job 15, verses 14 through 16. Job 15, verse 14. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? I mean, this is all going back to because of Adam. We're going to reap what Adam sowed. I mean, this is that principle. This is what we're seeing. Verse 15, behold, he puts no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinks iniquity like water? Now, I know you've read the book of Job, but have you ever thought about what he's saying here? Job understood that man is born with this predisposition toward being a sinner, and he, mankind, humanity, has a thirst for sin. In other words, because of our human nature, the nature that we are as the sons of Adam, we now have this nature of liking it. Because you see, apart from God's intervention, Adam's sin prevents humanity from reaping a spiritual fruit. Now I want you to go with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. Many of you know this verse. You have it committed to memory, and that's a good thing. But we want to jump into and look at that verse here. John 6, 44. No man can come to me, Jesus Christ is speaking, except the Father which has sent me draw him or calls him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Brother, what we see here is by receiving God's gift of calling mankind, those that God is calling and then accepts the call, experiences a spiritual birth with a new capacity now to produce spiritual fruit. In other words, now it can happen. And until this calling happens, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Yet, when man rejects God's truth and they sow the wrong seed, what happens is society pretty much always experiences some kind of moral degeneration and a moral decay. They break down. It keeps going down. It's never going to get better as a result of that. Now go back with me again to your marker, Galatians 6. Galatians 6. This time we're going to read the first part of verse 8. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's what society reaps. On the other hand, you have the true believer, someone who is called, someone who is trying to cooperate with God in His laws and His Spirit, and is bearing fruit. He reproduces godliness and reaps spiritually everlasting benefits. The B part of the verse, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you've got two sides. You've got the physical side of human life, and they're going to reap destruction because that's what they go after. Yet on the other side, the B part of this verse, the spiritual part of the human life, I'm talking about non-called and called, he's going to be able to reap spiritual fruit unto everlasting life. The first part of the verse, that can't happen. And the second part, it can. And so here in Galatians chapter 6, in these verses, what we see is the affirmation or the promise of this law of God. Galatians 6 and verse 7. We're going to read 6 and 7 together. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. 8 says, for he that sows to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that sows of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's an either or. You're going to sow, and you're going to sow either this or you're going to sow this other. But do we notice something else here? It is introduced with a warning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Because you see, brethren, God knows that deception can come from two sources. Two sources. Again, this is one of those things, you can break it down a whole lot of different ways. It's real simple to me. Two things. One is, the first one is, the devil deceives us. Because after all, he is actively going about attempting to blind mankind to God's truth and the consequences of sin. I mean, that's what he's going about doing. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So he goes around putting out light so that you can't see, so that mankind cannot see what God is trying to illuminate, which is truth and the consequences of sin. He doesn't want us. He, Satan, does not want us to do that. Us meaning humanity. Now go with me to Colossians 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. You know this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The second source, I said there are two sources, and I think we can put everything kind of under the one or two. Number one was the devil goes about to deceive us, and number two is we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. That can come about because of what other people have done, but see, we've allowed it. We do it. We deceive ourselves. This happens when we ignore the truth that we have received, or when we think that God will not hold us accountable for the choices we make or the things that we do. I'm not going to reap what I sow. Now, no one's going to make that statement. I mean, you may have an absolute idiot or something, but we're not going to make those kinds of statements, but we're still going to live life from time to time, and we find ourselves, when we look back on it, we go, how stupid this is. Of course I'm reaping what I've sown, and I didn't think that God was going to hold me accountable. I mean, you know, we don't think it out like that, but isn't that what it is? I think so. I think it's exactly what it is. I think this is exactly what it is. But here's the point in these verses. God will not be mocked. Another way is, God's not going to be made a fool of. He knows. He knows exactly. And he does not permit anyone to disregard his principles and then live as he pleases and escape the consequences. It's not going to happen. Romans 3:23, verses that many of us have had committed to memory for 30, 40, 50 years. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I stated earlier, it is introduced as a warning. God is not mocked. It's going to happen this way. Okay, next, we can see this law or this principle of God is stated as an absolute. Galatians 6, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's an absolute. God says it, it's going to happen. It's an absolute. The word that we find in this verse, this word, whatsoever, makes this principle all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. What I mean by that is it applies to anything and everything that we sow. Whatsoever a man sows, whether it be seed or whether it be good deeds in our lives or bad deeds in our lives, we're going to reap what we've sown. You know, you want wheat, plant wheat. You want honest and trustworthy and loving children, that's what you sow in their lives. The word that shall be also, that shall be also, declares that we will reap the same in kind as we have sown. So we see this principle over and over and over in various ways of looking at these verses. We can see from this principle there are some positive and some negative aspects. And I want to kind of break them down as bullets. Most of you understand what I mean by that. I just give you bullets without a lot of explanation to them. We're going to look at this law, this principle, some positive aspects of it in this way. Bullet. If we sow of the Spirit, we will reap of the Spirit. The next one. If we sow the gospel, meaning who and what Jesus Christ is, and there's a coming kingdom, and all the things associated with it, all of it to make it be, we sow the gospel, we will reap converts. Because when you really understand it, that's going to happen. The next one, if we sow biblical instruction into the lives of our children and grandchildren and family, we will reap godly nature in their lives. An example, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he may go that way. That's not what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is mature, he will go that way. But you got to sow into this child. Well, I was in the church for all these years, and my children, they all left the church. Something happened somewhere, and I understand there's calling, and I understand all of that, and so there's another aspect to this, but I'm looking at this verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's mature, he will not depart from it. There's a principle there somewhere. Okay, then on the other hand, there are also some negative aspects. Here's a few bullets. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. The next one, if we sow evil, we will reap evil. If we sow indifference to God and godly priorities, we will reap apathy, insensibility, coldness, hardness of heart. Positive and negative aspects of the same principle. Okay, now I want us to look at some biblical passages, verses about this particular principle. I want us to start by looking at some in the book of Psalms. Go to the book of Psalms. We're going to start in chapter 1, Psalm 1, verse 1. That's about as early in Psalms you can go. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law does he meditate day and night. Do you think this is talking about sowing and reaping? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is the reaping. Now we're talking about the reaping that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Do you think he's really talking about plants? He's talking about our lives. What we sow, we're going to reap. That's what David is saying. He's not using those words, but that's what he's saying. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. The ones who didn't sow this are not going to reap it this way. This is what he's saying. But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Sowing and reaping. This is an incredible illustration of this teaching. And you can break it down, and I'm not going to, but you can break it down into the different Hebrew connotations, the Hebrew senses of the words and phrases here, but the principle is, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. It's that principle, and it is loud. Because that's what he says. The person who shuns the counsel and company of the world and sows the word of God into his life will reap a blessed and fruitful life. That's what he says. Then on the other hand, the person who sows ungodliness will reap an unstable life and the condemnation of God. Let's go to another psalm. Psalm 5 and verse 10. Psalm 5 verse 10. Destroy you them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of your transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. And I know there are times, and I mentioned this in, you know, not too long ago in one of the teachings, that people get upset by, you know, when different writers, especially in the Old Testament, talk about it. It says, do this to them and do that to them. They're already there. You know, see, that is also something that when you understand, really understand, sowing and reaping, these people are already there. That's where they are. This is what he's saying. Destroy them who do not listen to your words, do not live your way of life. They are already bad off. Those who reject God's counsel will be destroyed by their folly. And then, on the other hand, those who continue in sin will reap the fruit of their actions also. Let's go to Psalm 7, verse 15. Psalm 7, verse 15 and 16. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. Is he describing, he's reaping what he sowed? It's exactly what he's describing. Verse 16. His mischief shall return upon his own head. This is you're going to reap the same kind of which you did. And his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. The word is head. In the New King James, it says upon his crown. And it is talking about the crown, top of his head, going to pile down right on the very top of his head. That's what it's saying. Those who sow deception and prey on the lives of others will eventually be caught by their own actions. Then on the other hand, the person who sows an attitude of faith will be, and that will be noticeable by the obedience and the trust toward God, and that person will reap a season of rejoicing. Psalm 5 and verse 11. Go back to Psalm 5 now, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. There are others in Psalm. There are many others in Psalm. But I want to go to the book of Proverbs, and I want to see a couple of them there. Let's go to Proverbs 11 and verse 18. Proverbs 11, verse 18. The first part of the verse, the wicked works a deceitful work. When you read these and you think about sowing and reaping, I think it puts a different light on it whenever you think about it in this context. Those who sow wickedness serve themselves in a deceitful work. And it promises them one thing, but it delivers something else. Because they're deceived. They're deceived. And those who sow righteousness reap a sure reward. You say they will not be disappointed with the fruit of their labors. That's verse 8, the B part. But to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. You got sowing and reaping in several of these passages. You just have to see it in that context to draw it out. Okay, another verse that describes this sin that does not deliver the satisfaction of what it has promised, we see in Proverbs 26 and verse 27. Proverbs 26 and verse 27. Whoso digs a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolls a stone, it will return upon him. See, it's not talking about rolling a stone in something good. It's obviously this is something, he's sowing something that he shouldn't be rolling. Again, you have to go back and look in the Hebrew, what is the sense of the meaning of the words. I'm not going into all of it. I'm just telling you it's something different than what you might think of when you first read it. Okay, now I want to look at some of the words, an illustration of the words of Jesus Christ. Go with me to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 7. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The one who sows mercy is going to receive or reap mercy. What do you think about the person who doesn't? They won't. And then the one who sows purity is going to reap fellowship with God. It says they will see God. What do you think of those who do not sow purity? They're not going to see God. This is a reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping principle that we see. And it's in many, many places throughout the Bible. Okay, now I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke 6 and verse 37. Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Can you already see reaping and principles, or sowing and reaping principles here? Of course. Verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It means it's putting it in here and it's going to be filled up to the top. And then it's going to be shaken, it's going to be pressed down. You know, you've ever tried to do that to get more into it? Yeah, sure, we know, we understand. That's exactly what he's describing here. This is what he is saying, shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? Because with the same measure, oh, now we're looking at the second part of what we're seeing. Because the same measure that you meet withal, that you give to others, it shall be measured to you again. If you do mercy to some, what's going to happen? Mercy's going to come back. What if you sow to others a whole lot of mercy? What is going to come back to you? A whole lot of mercy. However you've given it. You can give good and give and get good. You can give great and receive great. You can get bad, going to get bad. If we sow judgment, we will reap criticism. If we sow condemnation, we will reap rejection. If we sow forgiveness, we will reap forgiveness. The last part of this, verse 38, declares that whatever we give, it shall be returned to us. In other words, I've already stated, but I'll state it again. In other words, we will reap the same in kind as we have sown. Okay, next. If a person lives his life for selfish purposes, example, for wealth, for influence, for fame, for comfort, for success, or whatever else words we can comment in there, he is going to reap a wasted life. Oh, in the world he may be successful in all of that. But go with me to Mark 8. Mark 8, 35. The A part of the verse. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And if you're not sure that's what that principle is saying in that verse, you need to study the principle of this verse. That is what he's saying. If we're going after, in this world, what the world is offering, we're looking to save our lives, we've lost it. Thinking that he saved his life for his own use, he will actually lose the value of his life for eternity. The B part of this verse. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And in the context, it is referring to eternal life, yes or no. Is it wrong to be successful and to have the wealth and all of those things? Of course not. It's what is, how are we going after it? What are we putting, that in the place of seeking God and his righteousness and all of those things? That's a whole big topic, but that's what we're looking at here. Now, we said all of this and brought all this down to this point to ask this question. Which one do we want? Which one do we want? Because remember, we do reap what we sow, and we also reap the same in kind as we have sown. So what do we want? Brethren, please realize, as the church of God, we will reap exactly what we have sown. That's a sobering thought whenever you make, you know, when you first hear this statement. When I first put this down in my notes, I went, I don't think I can say this. I took it out. then I put it back. Because it's a sobering thought. We, as part of the church of God, we're going to reap exactly what we've sown. I have two bullets under that statement. One, if we are concerned for others who do not attend here or with other Church of God groups, we can expect others being added to the Church of God here or someplace else. And I can back this up with Scripture, so I'm not doing it here. The second bullet, if on the other hand, we are not concerned about others, then I think there's only really one reason, and that is we have not been sowing the Word of God as we should be. And I think that if we come up and say, no, there's all these other reasons, so I think what we're doing is we're simply deceiving ourselves. Because I think it hinges upon what are we wanting to sow, because what are we wanting to reap. So brethren, let's all realize, in our lives, we reap the values, the attitudes, and the godly nature that we have sown. So my question for all of us to consider is, what are we sowing that we deserve to reap? The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, brethren, God bless you in every way, and in your sowing and in your reaping. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.